I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Greg Crowley, CISSP, CISM, Chief Information Security Officer at eSentire, the authority in managed detection and response services, protecting the critical data and applications of more than 2,000 organizations in more than 80 countries from known and unknown cyber threats. To learn more about our sponsor, eSentire, visit eSentire.com. Greg, welcome. Great to have you back on with us.
Steve, thanks so much. Great to be talking to you again.
Greg, every year, eSentire sponsors our cybercrime report, which will be out in 2023 soon. Before we dive into some specific cyber threats, can you sum up cybercrime in a nutshell for us? Is it any worse, any more worrisome for you than it was last year at this time?
Right. Well, I'm kind of a skeptic myself, and I think it just goes along with the role and the position and everything, you know, I've seen over the years. But in a nutshell, I'd say it's evolving. It always has been and it always will be. I think that's why we feel that way. But the huge leap forward in and accessibility to really good generative AI, I think, is what's creating that new worrisome feeling with me. It's got a lot of new risks that maybe the industry hasn't thought about or knows how to monitor, control, and manage. Just this space is evolving super rapidly. I can't recall another space evolving so rapidly. So yeah, I'd say buckle up. It's going to be turbulent.
So you bring up AI, and I'm definitely going to ask you some questions about that. But before we go there, I want to talk about the bread and butter for the cyber criminals. And I'm surprised to see us still in the same space. Phishing, social engineering, that leads to ransomware attacks. We cover a lot of industry data. And according to the most credible sources, Greg, and this isn't us, you know, these are multiple sources that we look at. And almost all of them are reporting anywhere from half to as much as 75% of cyber incidents are still initiated by phishing and its derivatives now, such as vishing and smishing. I mean, how can this be at a time when organizations have a heightened awareness around the threat? They're spending more and more on training their employees.
I think it comes down to it's a numbers game. You know, by taking those tactics with phishing, vishing, smishing, but mainly email phishing, I would say, is still the most prevalent out of those three. You're going after the weak point, which is the human. Now, that I know that sounds bad, and I believe that your end users are your best line of defense also. They can report things early that you might not be seeing. So it's all about educating them. But it comes down to it's a numbers game. So with good training, if you're running simulated phishing campaigns to test and reinforce the learning, well, then if you're doing really well, if you can have less than 5% of your organization actually click the link or attachment. But that's still a lot because it only takes one to have potentially devastating consequences. So it's effective for the adversaries to still use this. The even more important part of the training, in my opinion, is making sure your users know how to report the phishing, make that like muscle memory for them. They have to understand why that is super important too. Sometimes we forget the why. We get reminded by doing that, yes, you were good enough to recognize this as malicious or suspicious or a phishing email, but others might not. So by you reporting it, you're helping prevent others from clicking that. And you could be saving the company from having a serious incident. And then also let them know that, and just as important, that if they feel that they have clicked and fallen victim to a phish, trust their gut and report it. Don't be concerned about the consequences that you did something. If you let your security team or IT team know right away, then we can probably mitigate it pretty quickly and limit the damage. So basically, yeah, humans are prone to error. Organizations should embrace a cyber resilience strategy so they can anticipate, withstand, and recover, because you have to assume that these type of incidents will happen. So just actively monitor for them, detect, and respond.
So Greg, I'm particularly interested to hear what you have to say about ransomware. eSentire has one of the top teams in the industry. Your True team is very well known. So I know you're talking to a lot of organizations who are out there. What we're seeing is for just about every ransomware gang that shuts down, there's another one that emerges. A lot of times, you know, it's the same threat actors. We're tracking new strains every quarter. Double and triple extortion are almost the norm now. And we're seeing some of the most vulnerable organizations, K-12 schools, colleges, universities, and perhaps most concerning, hospitals globally, facing a larger number of more damaging ransomware attacks. So it's not just the sheer number of attacks, but it's the damage that they're creating. What are you and eSentire seeing?
Right. So you mentioned, you know, schools and hospitals, and those are the ones that really resonate, right? It's like, oh man, you're attacking schools and hospitals. But ransomware attacks are financially motivated. It's not that they have an agenda to go after those industries or care about taking out schools or hospitals. They just go for the easy, vulnerable targets who are likely to pay. So our threat intelligence teams and our threat response unit see it to some degree across all verticals. To your point about the double and triple extortion, in some cases that makes having backups almost irrelevant because even if you can restore fully and timely, if that threat actor has the sensitive data of your company, of your customers, of your patients or your students, right? They are threatening to post it. Restoring from backup doesn't really factor into that equation. I can say on a positive side, what we are seeing is the companies who have programs in place to quickly detect and contain, those companies are much more resilient to the impact of a ransomware attack. So it's more about, especially the larger organizations, you might not have large enough budgets to put in everything you want, all your defensive and preventive measures. If you have a cyber resilience type of strategy to be able to like monitor and detect and respond, then you're able to contain a lot more quickly. And that's going to limit the impact.
So Greg, you'd mentioned AI before. Give me both sides of the coin. What kind of harm is it starting to create? There's a lot of concern out there. And then on the other side, can it help and how can it help?
Wow. Okay. So this could be an hour-long conversation in itself. This topic is just, I can talk about this forever, but I won't. Its applications are endless. It's a powerful technology that can be used for good and for bad, as you were alluding to. So on one hand, it has lowered the barrier to entry for novice hackers to become more effective threat actors. A simple example of this is the ability to write convincing phishing or business email compromise emails. And if the victim then engages with those emails, right? So if they're trying to trick them into fraud and do a wire transfer, for example, there's usually some back and forth communication. Well, then the threat actor on the other side can just use Gen AI, ChatGPT type of technology to help craft the perfect response in the target's native language. So it throws up even less flags. On the other hand, the technology can also help analysts and defenders be more adept. For example, the security industry has, and I think it's some research that you guys have done, right? That there's about 3.5 million unfulfilled security jobs. But now we can leverage AI to help quickly analyze malware. We can use it to decipher dense log data. We can use it to prompt tier one analysts with playbooks to help shrink that skills gap and get them up to speed quicker. We're still in the early days of this very accessible AI, and I think that favors the bad guys, unfortunately. They don't need to take ethics into consideration. They don't have to worry about securing their LLM. They can just hit the ground running. But in the end, I believe AI will also help level the battlefield, honestly. East Centire is already started down this journey to enable the defenders with leveraging this power. You know, we're taking what we see as a three-pronged approach here. So first, we have developed our East Centire AI investigator. And right now, it's just in private beta mode today. But it's going to allow customers to use proprietary LLM with their own security data, with their assets, with their own threat cases, and leveraging East Centire's threat intelligence within our XDR platform. So similar to ChatGPT, the defenders using the East Centire AI investigator are able to interact with our platform and their data via natural language queries. And that's the key part right there, right? Even somebody for myself on my level, I might not know all the queries of a SIM, right? How do I have to construct this query to get my answers? And how do I then construct the follow-up query to get more relevant information and keep diving in? Well, no, you can use your natural language queries, no syntax learned. Just ask your questions, quickly get what you need. Second, and this is really cool, we're helping to solve the problem that IT and security teams are having now around securely supporting Gen AI and LLM usage that's going on in their company, because pretty much every company out there is getting pressure to either build these within their environments or integrate them within their environments. And then the IT and security teams are kind of blind. Well, what vulnerabilities are there? What are people, type of information are people putting in? How do we know what's getting responses back? And there's a lot of risks and a lot of concerns and around that about the data and where is it going. So we have open sourced our East Centire LLM gateway on GitHub, which allows the defenders to gain that visibility and control over the LLM usage in their organizations. And then the third tier here is the telemetry that we've been seeing from our internal usage of this LLM gateway has been integral in identifying LLM-based attacks. That leads us to the final part of the strategy, which is developing our own MDR for LLM offering, because we know how real this threat is, and we have to stay true to our promise to prevent business disruption across this broad attack surface. So, sorry, I know that was a long answer, but it's a lot shorter than I can normally give.
No, well, you know what? I'm tempted to ask you some questions, but I'm not, because we don't have the time, but I'd love to have you come back on, perhaps when you emerge from beta, because there is a lot for us to talk about.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, Greg, to combat the threat, we need many, many more cyber fighters. You know, the technology is critical. Esentire is one of the best in the business. So you have the platform, you have your company's support, but still you have to have the staff in place. And as you mentioned, there's still a deficit of qualified cybersecurity professionals. Is that getting any better? And maybe you could break it down, because clearly it's different when we talk about entry-level positions as compared to the more experienced people in senior roles.
So yes, we're still faced with that deficit. One problem that I see is that a lot of entry-level positions have job descriptions with the requirements that pretty much are describing senior, seasoned professionals. So that's a problem. I can understand why that happens, right? Because companies, they don't have the budget for multiple security resources. So they're trying to get the best they can at the entry-level price that they're allowed to spend. So again, here is where I think AI will help out. It will be that high tide that rises all boats, so to say. Companies can get more out of the entry-level positions, and security professionals at every level should be able to more easily level up. The other way companies are obtaining the required security professionals is by outsourcing some of the required duties that might not be most effective to manage in-house, such as SOC analyst duties to provide 24/7 SOC detection and response needs. So often it's best to just leverage a managed security provider to handle those functions. So this way, the companies can then focus on nurturing and hiring the more senior level security roles.
So speaking to the senior roles, Greg, we recently conducted research and we approximate the world has around 32,000 CISOs. That's a very small number. According to our research, every Fortune 500 company now has a CISO. Nearly every Global 2000 company has one. So that's the good news. You're looking at maybe 75 to 80% of those companies having CISOs 5 years ago. So good news. But the opposite end of the spectrum, nearly 0% of small businesses and far too few mid-sized companies have a full-time CISO. You know, how do we bridge that gap? Because we're still seeing more than 50% of cyber attacks hitting small companies.
Yeah, absolutely. I also find it interesting that you mentioned CISOs at Fortune 500 companies. So I'm sure your research is accurate, as it always is. And on a related note, according to a recent Brian Krebs article, it stated that only 4 of the Fortune 100 companies currently list a security professional, such as a CISO, within their top executive ranks. Now, to me, that makes me question just how seriously they factor security into their business decisions. So to answer your question about small to medium-sized businesses not having a CISO, that could be okay. The tricky part is it could be too costly for small businesses to remain solvent and be competitive in hiring experienced security professionals, right? But this can be solved with fractional CISO or virtual CISO services, or even someone like Esentire's cyber risk advisory model who has industry-specific or compliance expertise. Basically, you're upskilling their IT person or having periodic assessments. Honestly, I would rather have a security professional of any level or title who is considered leadership and is involved in those leadership decisions of the company, rather than a company who has the money to fill a CISO position, but not actually consider them part of the company's leadership.
So Greg, before we leave off here today, the report's going to be out soon, and we'll have some more thought leadership in there from Esentire. Any final thoughts from you about cybercrime, cybersecurity, looking ahead the rest of this year, looking into 2024?
Sure. I always have other thoughts. Yeah, zero-day exploits. We haven't talked about that. And the reason I bring it up is because over the past year, there have been actually a dramatic rise in threat actors switching slightly their focus from phishing to exploiting zero-day and one-day vulnerabilities. I think the statistic was that it's, in the past year, 143% increase. The Clop ransomware group, for example, has been heavily taking advantage of this, and they've been increasing their victims by 9x year over year. So it's challenging for companies to keep up with their patching. Again, I would say adopt a cyber resilience mindset to effectively be able to anticipate, withstand, and recover.
So now we have two more episodes to bring you on for, Craig. We're going to be talking about AI and we're going to be talking about 0 days, because you're absolutely right. We only have so much time, but we appreciate the insights. It was great to have you on with us again today.
Great talking again, Steve. And yeah, happy to follow up on those other two.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining us today was Greg Crowley, CISSP, CISM, Chief Information Security Officer at eSentire, the authority in managed detection and response services, protecting the critical data and applications of more than 2,000 organizations in more than 80 countries from known and unknown cyber threats. To learn more about eSentire, visit eSentire.com. You can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.